It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. One of our favorite people to be able to talk about, and really one of our favorite sports stories throughout the St. Louis region, is the incredible things that are going on over at SIUE, and they've got more incredible stuff going on right now. So we're happy to welcome on their athletics director and vice chancellor, Andrew Gavin. I always say this, a guy that I've known for a really long time. Our paths continue to cross each other, and it's been really fun for me watching the work that's been done at SIUE under your leadership and your team and your great staff, and just more big things are happening.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. And likewise, I was just telling somebody the story upstairs of how we've been connected for almost 20 years now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's been pretty fun to watch your path as well, and always appreciate connecting with you.
We'll get into some of the big news and specifics lately, but summertime is a great time for leaders in college athletics to kind of self-inventory and see where their department is at as you gear up for another academic year coming up. What have your big thoughts been over the course of the summer?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think as we take inventory of what we're doing at SIUE, start with our team, and our team meaning coaches and staff. We're really, really fortunate. We have a very stable group of leaders on our team. So we have 11 head coaches. They're the exact same 11 head coaches that were with us when I started. That's something I'm really proud of. That stability and leadership is rare in college athletics. And similarly, our leadership team that kind of helps administratively support our coaches and student athletes, we haven't had any turnover there either. So we're really fortunate there. I think we're really proud of the success of our athletics department in a lot of ways, but we always want to start with the academic piece. And one of the things we're proud of from last year is that we are the number one national public institution in graduating student athletes.
Wow.
So of every public institution nationally across Division I schools, SIUE graduates student athletes at a higher clip. And I never want to miss an opportunity to highlight that.
Do you guys do things or look at things for retention? And we're talking about coaches. You mentioned your 11 head coaches, but also from a student athlete standpoint, it's kind of the wild, wild west out there right now when it comes to the transfer portal. But the programs of your size that can retain student athletes, that is a big benefit to them. What are you guys looking at in terms of retention across the board?
Yeah, ours has been really strong, and I think there's a lot of factors to that. Edwardsville is a great place to live and go to school. Our university is in a really good place. I think university-wide, we're supporting students well. I mentioned stability. We have a really strong stability in our student-athlete support resources, so obviously that starts with coaches, but athletic training, academic advising. So we have a lot of people that know how to support athletes, and I think they appreciate that. And the headlines are the athletes that are leaving, that the NIL piece, the revenue share piece, and we're certainly not immune to that. Don't get me wrong. But what is also still true is that student athletes prioritize culture. They prioritize the environments that they're in. And I think if you treat them the right way, they're not that they won't leave. And we've had plenty that have chosen to do so. But they're not running from you. They may be running to something great, but they're not running from us. And I think that's important. Men's basketball is certainly at the forefront of that for us in terms of visibility, in terms of the national landscape. We had 8 young men on our roster this past year that could have chosen to enter the transfer portal, and only one of them did.
Okay.
So we'll have 7 returners and across mid-major college athletics, college basketball. Having that type of retention rate is pretty rare.
When men's basketball is very much the front door to the entire athletic department, how proud are you of what that program has been able to do? Was in a tournament not that long ago, really continues to play at a high level, and it feels like that's a program that can compete for an OVC championship on a year-in, year-out basis.
Yeah, and I think that's what you just said is what Coach Baroni has established, that year in and year out, SIUE men's basketball has a chance to win that championship, and that's the regular season title. Coming in second a couple years ago, that's obviously winning down in Evansville in March and getting that ticket to the big dance like we did in 2025. He's built the stability and sustainability of a program that, again, in this era, it is rare. His leadership and stability is a little bit rare. He's got people knocking on his door too, but he also, you know, wants to be around SIUE. He wants to be in our community. So he's done a really good job with that, and I think that feeds into so many other things at a place like SIUE, whether that's the revenue generation side, the, you know, butts in seats and getting people to our games, whether that's the other sports, just kind of feeling the momentum of a March Madness run of a men's basketball team that's successful. We've started to see the women's basketball team start to have similar success, and we're expecting a big year from them. But it does start with men's basketball, and Coach Baroni's done a really good job of establishing a perennial contender.
We're talking with Andrew Gavin, athletics director at SIUE. The big news this past week, and we've seen it across college athletics, the NCAA is now allowing jersey patches. That's a new way to create some revenue. And we've seen some of the big schools across the country start to make their announcements. But I know you guys are really proud that when it comes to mid-major schools, you're one of the first in the country to be able to make the announcement.
Yeah, the Big Four made the announcements this week. Illinois, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and SIUE, right, Matt? So, no, we are proud. We want to be a leader in college athletics, and I think we can do that in a scalable way from the level that we get to compete in. And we want to be innovative, we want to be creative, and we want to take advantage of opportunities. And, yes, the landscape is changing. There's a lot of uncertainty in college athletics. There's a lot of things that we have to navigate as administrators, as coaches, as student athletes. That can be challenging and maybe steal the headlines with those challenges, but there's also a lot of opportunity. And as a place that's only been in Division I for fewer than 20 years, this is an opportunity for us to leapfrog some people, right? So the opportunity with the jersey patches, as you mentioned, to expand upon a really great relationship with First Community Credit Union was something we were excited about pursuing, and we're proud to be the first OVC school to announce a partnership. We're proud to be the first St. Louis Region school to announce a partnership, and just it's all about continuing to get better and embrace Division I athletics at SIUE.
If you're not pushing forward, you're going to get left behind. Is that a correct way of saying it?
No question. Yeah, this is a time to be fast and aggressive, innovative, creative, and I think that's something that we have an opportunity to do where we're positioned at SIUE, so we want to take advantage of that opportunity.
I'll be careful in how I ask this question, but we're living in a world right now where anytime the NCAA makes a decision, it feels like it goes to court, and it feels like the NCAA loses, which makes it feel like we're living in a world right now without rules. As an athletics administrator, does that environment, like, keep you aware? Like, how do you handle that where you don't really maybe know what all the rules are?
Yeah, I think you have to keep the main things the main thing, and that's a little bit cliche, but I'm not one that gets up every day and reads every legal viewpoint about college athletics, and you know, I think it can be really distracting from the main work that we're trying to do, which is recruit and retain high-level student athletes, support them in and out of competition, create success in competitive environments, win championships in the OVC. So, yes, it's uncertain. There are things that are changing. We need to be adaptable. We need to react quickly to those changes. I think we need to not dwell solely on the challenges of those changes and really pursue what is the opportunity that this is presenting to a place like SIUE. And if we do that, it doesn't all go away. It's not going away. I think we're going to have a few more years at least of some uncertain times in college athletics. But you can't let that distract you from the other opportunities to make progress. And I think we've done a pretty good job of doing that.
One of your strengths, I believe, is you've always been somebody that has pushed forward when it comes to facilities. And facilities is an area where you can really create an advantage. How do you feel about your facilities that you currently have at SIUE, and are there grander plans in the back of your mind right now?
Yeah, there's massive and expensive plans in my mind all the time. And those are important. Similarly to kind of the last thing we talked about, is those can be paralyzing too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're talking tens and tens of millions of dollars at times, depending on what project. So I also think one thing we're proud of at SIUE is we're taking the small wins from a facility perspective. That's creating a great environment at First Community Arena. We're filling more of our arena at SIUE than our peers are across the OVC. We're generating ticket revenue and sponsorship revenue, concession revenue at SIUE in ways that we weren't doing a couple years ago. So what are some of those small wins from a facility perspective that can continue to drive home court advantage, drive excitement for your student athletes, but also just the game day atmosphere that people want to be around and can generate a few dollars to support what you're trying to build. One thing that we've done at SIUE is if you're trying to find something to do in January in the Metro East, we want to be the number one thing on your mind. And I think that's happening at SIUE in terms of coming to our basketball game, bringing your family out and having a good time. And we're really proud of that.
For everything to work, you have to have great corporate sponsors and great community partnerships. And you mentioned First Community Credit Union being the title sponsor on your arena and now also the patch. As you've always been a kind of a builder and been very good at being able to work with partners, how important is it that as they help you, you also kind of bring them along and help them all at the same time?
Yeah, I've never wanted it to feel like a handout or fundraising when it comes to corporate partnerships. It truly has to be a mutually beneficial relationship. I think we want to be the best use of marketing dollars in the Metro East. So when we talk about the relationship with First Community Credit Union or BJC or Schnucks or Ameren Illinois, some of our really, really strong supportive sponsors, they're helping us tremendously. That financial support is really important. But we're invested in helping them as well. How do we get them in front of our 13,000 students, our 2,000 coaches and staff, our fans, our alumni base in the Metro East and the St. Louis region? So it's got to be mutually beneficial. And that's the way we approach it. And I think, you know, business community appreciates that, because just like we're navigating challenges in college athletics and prioritizing things around how we're spending our dollars, so are they. They've got plenty of options. And we're really proud that I think we're a valued partner in that sense. And First Community Credit Union has been a long partner of ours. Obviously, we play in First Community Arena. They've been supportive of what we're doing for a number of years. So when this opportunity came about, it just felt natural that let's build on something that's working with them. And we were really grateful that Glenn Barks and his team at First Community reciprocated the excitement. So we're thrilled about this. We had a fun announcement yesterday and unveiled some uniforms and got the mascots out, and we're excited about it.
I would encourage everybody. There's the sports dollar goes only so far. We've got so many great programs across the region. Obviously, what SLU's been able to do, it's not too far to get to Mizzou, to get to Illinois. But folks that are listening who have never come to an SIUE men's basketball game, this is a good reminder to maybe put that on the list of things to do coming up this fall and winter.
Absolutely. I appreciate that plug.
Andrew, great to see you.
Thanks, Matt. Likewise.
That is Andrew Gavin. He is the SIUE Vice Chancellor and Director of Athletics. Always great to catch up with him. We'll take a break. We've got our community spotlight coming up in just a moment as you are listening to a Thursday night edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Back at it. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Continuing to take you, we go all the way until 8 o'clock this evening. We've hit that time of the week. One of my favorite things we do, it is building community with Busey Bank beyond the game. At Busey Bank, they believe every community project, every volunteer hour, every local initiative starts with people who choose to get involved through their partnerships and volunteer programs. They are here to support the communities that we all call home. Busey Bank, building extraordinary together. Mind's Eye is a really, really cool organization that impacts people who are visually impaired, whether it's actually playing sports, whether it's just being able to take sports in, and it goes well beyond sports as well. But this is Sports Open Line, so we are going to touch on the sports side of it, and we're happy to welcome on their president and CEO, Jason Frazier. Jason, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show today. I appreciate it, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we get into any of the specifics, tell our listeners just generally about Mind's Eye and what you guys are doing. I know you're involved in so many different things.
As you kind of mentioned and highlighted there, we translate vision to audio. We build a more inclusive community for people who are blind and visually impaired, and not only in the St. Louis area, but mainly the St. Louis metro area. And we do it through three programs: our radio reading service, our audio description, and adaptive athletics. Those programs make sure that people are not left out in spaces they typically would be left out of in the St. Louis community.
You mentioned adaptive athletics, and beep ball is a really big thing, and you guys have something special with that you've got going on. Tell me a little bit about beep ball and the team that you guys have.
So for those not familiar with beep baseball, it's an adaptation of baseball/softball. A couple things that are different when you think about baseball and beat baseball. So unlike most performs of baseball, the pitcher is actually on the batting team. He is trying to actually make contact. The pitcher is sighted, and he's pitching to six blind or low vision players. Every player, no matter what their vision level, is wearing a blindfold. So the goal of the pitcher is to help that player make contact. So they're saying set, ready, pitch. The ball beeps is why it's called beep ball, but the batter's listening more for the pitcher's cadence and the timing. The beep comes in handy when it's going to the fielding portion for the six blind visually impaired fielders out there trying to track that ball that's put into play by that batter. They're trying to track it before that batter makes it to a buzzing base if he puts it in play.
It's really cool. As you watch these athletes go out and play this game, how inspiring is it? Because to be able to play this and play it well, I can't imagine the work that goes into it.
It's so inspiring for us at Mind's Eye. When we first got into this event, I got into B baseball. When I first started Mind's Eye, now almost 15 years ago, I'm a sports fan at heart. So someone said, hey, you know, we were doing the radio service and beat ball was our form of like trying to educate people. It was a once a year thing we did. And then, you know, someone came and said, hey, why don't we try to do like send the team to the Beat Baseball World Series. I had no idea what the Beat Baseball. I had a little bit of a knowledge. I would say no idea, but a little bit of knowledge to the Beat Baseball World Series. And we started a team called the Gateway Archers. And when we started, Matt, our first thing we said was, hey, we're going to just go to the World Series. That's all we're going to do. Fast forward 6 years later, we started that in 2020. This will be our sixth World Series. Our team will attend the Gateway Archers. We have now hosted two World Series in 24 and 25. We host some regionals. We actually do some other events across the country. We did our tournament this year in Puerto Rico that we helped get the Puerto Rican team off the ground this year a little bit. We hosted a tournament there. We go to multiple tournaments with our team. So we were so inspired by what we saw with the athletes and how they take to the field, but also what they do, how it helps camaraderie off the field. As we talk about building a more inclusive community. I've seen people on teams or our team alone, you know, help each other get jobs, do fancy football leagues together, just stuff like that that you think about from a team aspect and how important it is if you ever play in a sports team. Just that camaraderie aspect is also pretty cool to have too.
I know the Beat Baseball World Series is going to be taking place in Aurora, Illinois, starting on August 3rd. And sounds like you guys have a very, very good team going into that event.
Yeah, the Gateway Archers are rocking and rolling this year. They just came off another pretty good tournament in Champaign, just won the Tulsa Regional. Right now this year they are 16-2. Heading into World Series. We'll probably be ranked in the top three. The rankings come out here soon. I think that we have a good shot. We have a lot of strong players. Mike Curtis, who's our pitcher, who's also an employee with Mind's Eye, we talk about, but he just set the record for most home runs pitched in the season. A home run to beat baseball is a ball that is 170 foot in the air, stays in the air over a home run line. Zion Prince has four of those home runs this year. Mark Morris, who I know that was featured a lot last year, he's our premier shortstop in the game, which is our they play in the short left side of the field on the third base side, and he led the league in putouts last year. He's returning. We got Kyle Bora, who's a resident here. A lot of good players. We've had nine different players make all tourney offense this season alone, so I think we're in a good spot.
I know you do other athletic programs as well. You've got a sports camp coming up. What will that consist of?
We'll be partnering with Lighthouse for the Blind St. Louis, and we'll have a sports camp. We'll do different things. We'll do beat baseball, of course, have a little bit of blind soccer, do some things with goal ball. But also, we're trying to get some of the other sports that you can do individually. Like, you know, we talk about blind golf is one that's coming up on the rise. So we're going to try to have a little blind golf instruction. Also, just standard fitness, so, you know, how you walking, running, stuff like that as well. So just getting some kids involved and getting the people out there in athletics because, you know, I grew up playing sports. I know a lot of the listeners grew up playing sports, and you remember how the good feeling you have about participating and doing those things, but also the friendships and things, the relationships you build through athletics as well is also pretty important.
I know two other programs that are athletic related. You just mentioned about both goal ball and blind soccer. Can you tell me about those and as those programs are continuing to build?
The one thing that we are aiming to, goal ball is a sport that is one, it's not really it's an adaptive sport, but it was made primarily for people who are blind or visually impaired. Blind soccer is fastly growing, especially with the Paralympics coming up here in 2028, and the U.S. will have their first go run with a blind soccer team. So blind soccer has a little bit of different nuances. Your goalie is actually the sighted person in the sport this time. I'll say blind soccer, if you look at it, it almost looks somewhat, because it's such a physical, more physical than probably American football, or probably than regular soccer. We just saw in the World Cup. It's almost like a little variation of rugby. A lot of physicality because guys are kind of trying to get around each other, but also run into each other a lot. Goal ball is a sport that is played. Every blind school in America probably has a program with it. The sport has three, just say a large goal behind you, almost like three hockey nets put together. Those players will stand in front, and there'll be three players on each team. The players will stand in front of trying to prevent a ball that has kind of like a dodgeball, but a little bit heavier, has bearings inside of it. They'll try to prevent that ball from going into the net. So that's a sport that many blind athletes have played, or even it's kind of been a building block, because a lot of beat ball players, as we talked about earlier, their building blocks from defense come from goal ball. So you get a lot of that going on too. So that's something we're hoping to have a team gateway goal ball premiere in the fall.
Very, very cool. We were talking earlier, and you described to me a little bit about what you guys do at actual games, like at a Cardinals game, being able to take the entire experience of being at a baseball game and basically translate it so people who can't see it or are vision impaired can experience every part of it. Can you describe that for me?
Yes. So we do a program called Audio Description. The Cardinals are one of, I think they're the only baseball team in MLB that has audio description at its games, at select games. So what we do for that is just imagine, of course, you're talking about the play-by-play, if someone's in the home run, but a lot of times there's a delay if you're listening to it on the radio side, or there's a, they're talking about commercials going on in the middle portion. So what we do is we describe the whole experience. So if Fred Bird is out there and there's a Cubs fan sitting there and Fred Bird decides to pie that Cubs fan in the face, we describe that. If the wave is going on, we describe that. I think one of the coolest things that I've been able to describe personally at being at the game is it was a few years back. I think Yadier Molina was still in the team. There was a wedding proposal going on right before, or someone was, proposing right before Yadi had a big hit in that game. So if you were if you were a blind person who was there at the game, unless I described, you wouldn't know why everybody was cheering before Yadi has a big hit. So it's kind of describing, making sure you get that full experience of being at the stadium. Even the wave, I talk about that, the wave going on in the seventh inning or, sometime during the game. That's the part that everybody's standing up around you. So we describe, hey, the wave in section 122 or 125, you're in section 126, the wave is coming to your section. So they can also participate in that part of the game as well. So it's just making sure that whole experience is inclusive.
That's so awesome. Just because as people listening who, you just love the experience of going to a ball game and to be able to share that experience with someone who maybe can't see everything that's taking place, the power of words and description, it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, no, you definitely appreciate it more whenever, when I watch games on TV, I always appreciate the announcers who are putting in that full effort to describe exactly what's happening in the field, because there's someone listening to that game who maybe have retinitis pigmentosa, may have macular degeneration, may not be able to see that. You have to paint the picture for those Cardinal fans who are still invested and wanting to cheer on their team.
Yeah, I hear from people who listen to my show who are visually impaired, and it's always a good reminder about the impact that words can have. So I know this isn't specific to what you guys are doing, but just the fact that people can listen to Cardinals games on the radio, people are listening to this right now. The power of the spoken word is a really, really important thing for everybody, but certainly for people who are visually impaired.
Exactly. And, the way we start our state, our key principle of how we are is we're a radio station, but we are a radio station. People hear minds on radio. We don't do what you do because we can't do it that well, but we actually have, we read newspapers, magazines, books, grocery store ads. We even have a couple podcasts who are sports podcasts, but they are blind, well, vision podcasters. We're going to talk about sport from that perspective. So, just the spoken word, the printed word is important for everybody to get that information consistently, because so much entertainment, education is valued in those things.
Yeah, and your broadcast program, I know you translate newspapers, books, magazine, like you just mentioned. So there's so many more things that you can do, and would encourage people to head to the website, which is mindseyeradio.org, mindseyeradio.org. Am I safe to assume that you guys are always looking for volunteers and financial support and everything that goes along with that?
Always safe to assume that all of our programs and radio station are read by volunteers. even, you know, you talk about even our audio describers, we need more, we always can use more audio describers, but even we talk about beat baseball, so much of that sport depends on volunteers, whether it's your pitcher, your spotters out in the field, or the person who's just helping get water, give transportation to the players to and from practice. So we're always looking for volunteers to help out with our service. And also a lot of that comes from financial support. And we're always looking for that too, to help our players and help our listeners get what they need and be more, and be, make sure they're included into the community here in St. Louis and beyond.
Jason Frazier, he is the president and CEO of Mind's Eye. Again, the website, mindseyeradio.org. They do amazing things. We barely touched the surface of everything that they've got going on, so I would encourage everybody to get to their website and look through all the different programs that they have. But the athletic stuff, certainly a big part of that, and very awesome that they're doing that. Jason, thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure being on.
Jason Frazier, president and CEO of Mind's Eye. Again, you can head to their website, mindseyeradio.org. That's mindseyeradio.org. Learn all about everything that they're doing. So very cool, this organization, and we're glad to be able to put a bit of a spotlight on them. That is it for the program tonight. Thanks so much for being tuned in. Cardinals baseball back at it tomorrow as they are going to be north of the border. They are opening up a series against the Toronto Blue Jays tomorrow evening. That's going to be a first pitch a little bit after 6 o'clock. So we've got coverage a little bit after 5 o'clock tomorrow, and we will talk to you then. Have a wonderful rest of your night. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.